From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Alex Jones, our guest, wiretapping Americans, the Bohemian Grove. He's got some new video footage, inside stuff, and other issues that affect all of us. I've got some promising news here. Art Bell will do this Sunday's program on Coast to Coast. So make sure you're prepared for that program. Art Bell will do this Sunday's program. He wants to do the show. He has posted on his mobile cam, by the way, which is part of his group with the ham radio people that he is with and so close with, just a message to you that says, thank you all so much for caring so much. As you know, he's been going through one heck of an ordeal, obviously. But he wants to come back to the airwaves, and so he will do the Sunday show here, and we'll take it from there, okay? Here's some news of the day for you. Now, this is that incredible story that you heard about some time ago. The couple who planted a severed finger in a bowl of Wendy's chili in a scheme to extort money from the fast food chain, sentenced now to prison terms of at least 9 years. The 40-year-old woman, Anna Ayala, said she was bit into the digit, who she said she had it in her mouth, was sentenced to 9 years. Her husband, Jamie Placinia, 44, who obtained the finger from a coworker who apparently lost it in a workplace accident, he was sentenced to more than 12 years. According to the judge, greed overtook this couple, adding that the pair had lost their moral compass. The two pleaded guilty in September to conspiracy to file a false insurance claim and attempted grand theft with damages exceeding $2.5 million. Remember that old saying, crime doesn't pay. The Coast Guard searching for two crew members of a tugboat that sank about 40 miles off of Cape Fear in a gale force wind and high seas as a storm lashed the East Coast. One crewmate was confirmed dead. The 135-foot tugboat Valor began sinking late Tuesday while pulling a 500-foot barge loaded with petroleum byproduct. One of the two missing sailors probably stayed with the tugboat when it sank. The other was wearing survival gear that could allow him to survive in the water, they say, for up to 30 hours. A third sailor was rescued by the crew of a Coast Guard helicopter and taken to a hospital in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Momentum is building to refer Iran to the United Nations Security Council for possible sanctions. Britain, France, and Germany, three countries that make up the European Union-3 that has been negotiating with Iran, they've drafted a resolution that seeks a Security Council referral. Keep an eye on that story, as I mentioned a long time ago. Fresh from its fall to Earth last weekend, the Stardust sample return capsule has been opened in a clean room at the NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. According to Donald Brownlee, Stardust lead scientist from the University of Washington, it exceeds all expectations. He said it's a huge success. He says that we can see a lot of impacts. There are big ones, there are small ones, and the big ones you can see from 10 feet away. A preliminary estimation is that there might be more than a million microscopic specks of dust embedded in Stardust's aerogel-laden collector. Furthermore, it appears from the size of the carrot-shaped impact tracks in the aerogel that there are about 10 particles of 100 microns in size. So they've got some stuff to work with there. One of the biggest cosmic dust storms of the past 80 million years apparently left a blanket of material on Earth after an asteroid in space broke apart. The conclusion is based on evidence in ocean sediments, which computer models have tied to an observed bevy of asteroid siblings that still roam the solar system. The thinking is that the space rocks were once part of a larger asteroid, some 100 miles wide, that broke up, possibly in a collision, out there in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. They think the drama took place about 8.2 million years ago, just million years ago. The event would have created, they say, vast amounts of dust, some of which would have been scooped up by our planet. in Kings Canyon National Park in California. Spiders, centipedes, scorpion-like critters are among the 27 new animal species that biologists have discovered in the dark, damp caves of two central California national parks. The finds were made during a three-year study of 30 caves in Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks. Many of the creatures, they say, live only in caves. If you go to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the story that is headlined on Cripps Marble, Husband Sees the Face of His Late Wife. You'll see an incredible story there. More than a month after his wife died, Howard Taylor feels that she's still watching over him. It's an unbelievable story. The image is very easy to make out, and you can see the eyes. Just take a look at it. It's a very weird picture. Our dear friend Mark Scott Zakrie, you know, he comes on the program every once in a while to talk about the Twilight Zone episodes. Well, he is one of two writers named to write episode number 3 of Star Trek New Voyages. Good for you, Mark. He's all excited. He sent me an email tonight, and he's going to have a lot of fun doing that. In addition, he's going to direct the episode, so that's a good break for him. You know, although there continues to be debate over the exact date that it all started, we think around November 2nd, the year 2000, a person calling himself Time Travel Zero, and then later John Titor, started posting on a public forum that he was a time traveler from the year 2036. Now, we've talked about John Titor before on the program. So many of you have been emailing me asking for updates, just wondering what the heck is going on. We're turning to Oliver Williams in a moment. Oliver is the website editor for the time travel story of John Titor. We'll check in with Oliver for the entire hour. We'll open up phone lines a little bit later on. A remarkable story. So Oliver Williams next on Coast to Coast AM. Oliver Williams is the website editor for the time travel story of John Titor. He first saw John Titor's internet postings in the fall of 2002 after reading many of the sites where John was discussed. Amazing, Oliver, as to how much polarization and confrontation John's posts caused. And Oliver soon realized that part of the problem was that there was no one place where all these posts could be easily seen. And so he has gathered them together. JohnTitor.com is the website. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com, spelled J-O-H-N-T-I-T-O-R. Oliver, so many people have been sending me emails since your last visit to Coast several months ago. I've got to ask you, any more updates on John Titor? Do we know if he's come back? What's new?
Actually, George, I got three big things for you today, but no, there's no word that John has come back.
Okay.
I could start off right away with the first one, and we could go from there.
You got it. What's up?
The first one, usually I don't get too involved with this side of the story, but this is so fascinating that there's a link on my site to it, and you can go and take a look at this right now. Someone either is making or has made a film about John Titor, and what they've done is posted three photos on the internet from the film, and in one of them you can see the actor who plays John Titor. And this is not some guy off the street. Apparently, this is a real actor. His name is Michael Hartson.
Is this Hollywood-type film?
Actually, that's all the information we have right now. My next step, and I'm going to try to do this in the next few weeks, is try to track this actor down. Because apparently, he's done a lot of film and television before. And that's sort of the direction that's going in right now.
Interesting.
Also, on one of the sites you can go to, Larry Haber, the attorney who claims to represent John's family in our time,
right,
has left some messages on a couple of these forums, and he's now starting to answer questions about John and some of these other things.
If it is indeed Larry Haber, do you believe it is?
Actually, I do believe it is.
Okay.
I've seen some of the banter back and forth, and my guess is it is Larry Haber.
All right. We're going to talk about that in a second. Go ahead with the third one.
The other development that's kind of interesting is just within the last couple of weeks, and I got to back up a little bit, because this is the experience that drew me to the John Titor story to begin with. As you might recall, John made some specific predictions about the physics laboratory in Switzerland called CERN.
Right.
And he said that there would be an announcement in the fall of 2001 about their ability to create black holes. And, of course, that's exactly what happened after he stopped posting. And now we've been watching the developments at CERN, and in 2007, they plan to bring their large collider online, in which case they expect to be making mini black holes, which John claimed is what powered his time machine.
And he was truly 3, 4, 5 years ahead of any announcement that leaked out about what CERN was working on.
Exactly, and that's what first drew me to the story was, I made the connection between, wow, he said that a while ago, and now this information is starting to come out. Now, one of the complaints that people often email about is they say, well, how do you know that he actually made those posts before that announcement came out? And we now have something that's just about as significant, and people can go and see it for themselves, and it's the same kind of thing. At least twice, John mentioned something called the Z machine when he was posting online. And at the time, nobody really followed up or asked any questions about it because I don't think they understood what he was talking about. But he said it was a device that is at the Sandia National Laboratory in New Mexico. And it's some sort of a physics machine. At the time, I guess it was either just being built or it had been built. And John referred to this machine twice in talking about the discoveries of how his time machine worked. Well, less than 2 weeks ago, a group of reputable scientists have now come out and said that they have a working theory on how to build some sort of a dimensional traveling engine, which they're calling a warp drive. And they said the only place now on the planet where it's possible to create the energy to see if this thing works is the Z machine.
Jeez, isn't that something?
So if you, this is what I want people to do so that they can see that the post came before the news. If you Google Z machine right now, and then search within the results for John Teeter, you will see that he was talking about this way before any of this stuff came out.
And I've got to tell you, Oliver, as wild and as far-fetched as it may seem to think that there's a time traveler who's come back from 2036 back into our time era, you know what? If there is indeed time travel, and I've always said this now, if there is time travel in the future, who's to say that they don't come back? Now, in this particular case with John Teeter, an update us for some people who are brand new to Coast to Coast. He came back into this time period looking for an old IBM computer. He needed some of the parts, right?
Exactly. When he started posting online, he claimed that he was from the year 2036, and he came from a future that was much different than the one I think we're headed for. And what his claim was is that he had to go back to the year 1975, and get a computer called the IBM 5100, which at the time was IBM's first portable computer. He said that the computer had some unique functions to it that weren't well known at the time. In fact, I believe now that we've done the research, we've discovered that only a handful of people, maybe less than 100 people, knew about this at the time, that this machine was capable of doing certain things. And he said that's why they needed it in the future. Of course, when he was saying all this, nobody was really following up or asking him any more questions about it. Only after he left did IBM engineers who actually worked on the machine start coming forward and saying, yeah, I don't know who that guy was, but he was exactly right. And I don't know how he found out about it, but that's exactly the way that machine worked, and it makes perfect sense that that's what they needed it for.
He talked about time travel, Civil War, U.S. government problems, world problems, catastrophes, mad cow disease. A lot of these have come true.
Yeah, in fact, I am just looking at a whole list here. You know, it started off early on, he made references to buildings missing in New York. He talked about CERNs and the black hole, CJD, how the IBM 5100 worked. He made a mention about China being the next country to put a man in space. He said there would be no weapons of mass destruction found in Iraq years before we were even considering to go into war. He said that Hawking radiation could be overcome to make the physics of his machine work, and it looks like that's happened. He made many references to the U.S. Constitution being torn away from us in the coming years from 2000. He talked about a woman president in the year 2009, and it just goes on and on and on.
How did he disappear, Oliver? Did he merely just stop posting and he was gone? Did he announce that he was leaving? What happened to him?
Yeah, about, I would say, 2 or 3 weeks before he left, he said, he described that the way that time travel worked, that he had certain windows that he had to leave in. and that one of those windows was coming up while he was posting. So he gave the date that he was leaving. And that's when people started asking their last-minute questions and working up to it. And then on that day, he was gone. He just said, goodbye, I'm leaving, and he was gone, and no one's ever heard from him again.
Now, apparently he was born in Florida. His parents are still alive today.
Correct.
And then they moved somewhere to the Midwest, right?
Correct. According to the mythology that's out there now, his family did live in Florida. He was born in Florida in 1998. And after he left, you know, he claimed he had been spending time with his parents in our time. And after he left, it had been revealed that apparently his parents moved out of state, and I guess they moved to the Midwest. They moved to Omaha, Nebraska, is what it's been said.
We've been trying to find the attorney, Larry Haber. We have not been able to. Have you had any luck at all in that search?
I have. After he started posting a little bit, I sent him a couple of emails, and I did get a response. Apparently he has been out of the country most of January, and either he is back or he's about to come back. So I expect he may be a little more forthcoming on some of this.
Do you know where he lives?
I have no idea, but it is believed that he is someplace in Florida also.
All right. One of the strange parts of this entire episode, as I was doing updated research on this as well, so I go to Amazon.com. There's a book out there written by John Titor about himself.
Correct. That actually, that book's been out for a while. And it's basically a compilation of all of his posts. So if you're not on the internet or you want to read them, I guess you could buy that book. But if you wanted to, you could just go online and you could read all of them.
Was this done through the attorney, do you know?
Yes, apparently that was done through Larry.
The parents, have we been able to find them directly?
No. It's, again, this is the mythology. This is what people are speculating about and rumors and whatnot. It is believed that they are protecting their young son, which would be the younger version of John.
So the younger version of John Titor is on the planet now. He's in the United States already, but he's just younger, right?
Correct. He's here and he's alive, and his parents are just not anxious for people to find that out.
Do we know if the John Titor from the future ever met the John Titor from now and the parents?
Yes, he did. In fact, that's where he was when he was posting. And he claims that when he met his younger self, basically he said he described it as being his uncle. That's the way they explained it to him.
What about the paradox? When you see someone, when you see yourself from the future, you're supposed to, you know, destroy yourself. Remember that?
Well, according to John and the way the physics of time travel work, that's not a problem. There are no paradoxes. That the grandfather paradox doesn't exist because the universe is made up of multiple universes. Each one, everything that could happen or possibly is happening somewhere, as he described it. So every possibility is occurring at exactly the same time. So it would be possible to go back and meet yourself, and there would be no paradoxes.
I've got to tell you, Oliver, of all the puzzles and mysteries we've talked about and unraveled here on Coast to Coast, and there are many, this one ranks right up there with the best. It's one of the strangest stories I've ever come across.
Well, I'll tell you, we must discuss the big elephant in the room, because the last thing that I want to talk about, and we've been getting a lot of email about this both ways, is, as you're aware, one of the things John said was going to happen was that there would be a civil war in the United States that would start somewhere between 2004 and 2005, which would lead to a shooting war in 2008. And after, of course, the new year came, we got a lot of emails saying, see, it's not real that this didn't happen. But then we started getting more email, and they were taking an opposite look at it. And what they were doing was going back and looking at the posts. And one of the points that John made over and over again is that once you're aware of your future, because of the multiple universes, it's possible to change it. And one of the examples that I got, which kind of cleared it up a little bit in my mind when I started thinking about it, was pretend, George, you could go back to the year 1990, knowing what you know right now. And you started telling people that there would be this company called Microsoft, and in the year 1995, they would invent an operating system that would take over the computer industry. But at the same time, you also said that the president would be involved in a scandal with an intern, and it would almost bring him down. Now, if you kept saying that enough times, pretty soon somebody in the White House might hear you. So that event may not happen.
True.
But it would be very difficult to stop Microsoft from releasing their operating system. And a lot of people are comparing that example to what happened with John in the future.
Good point, Oliver. Stay with us. We're going to open up the phone lines now because I know you have a question about John Teeter. Oliver Williams, our guest. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Top of the hour, and for the rest of the show, Alex Jones, investigator, will be our guest. But we'll continue now with Oliver Williams and your phone calls. This is the final week before the January issue on predictions of the After Dark newsletter will be available to you. Then they start with the February issue. They have printed up, originally thousands of the January issue, gave them out to subscribers, and then so many people started ordering them, they reprinted a couple thousand. They're down to just a few hundred now. So take advantage of that, because when you subscribe, you'll still get the free CD, the Art Bell interview with the late Father Malachi Martin on exorcism. So call 1-888-727-5505. Operators are there now. 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. Oliver, were there any copycats out there?
There were lots of them.
Yeah.
However, they were foiled within maybe a couple of days of trying to go online.
How so? How were you able, able to foil them?
There are a few people out there that actually spoke with John online, and they knew enough about him so that they could easily identify anybody pretending to be him.
In your open, we talked about some of the anger because of John's posts. Tell me a little bit about the confrontations and the polarization.
Yeah, my guess is that, you know, we have this expectation of what we think a time traveler is. It's somebody who's going to tell us how the stock market's going to do, what our future's going to be like, and basically they're here to answer our selfish questions. John was not like that. Not only would he not answer questions like that, but he was very forthcoming in saying, hey, look, the future is not pretty, and it's basically your fault. And I don't think people wanted to hear that. And when they started hearing his words and some of the predictions were coming true, I think they started getting scared, and that's what made them mad.
He also didn't get directly involved in affairs of the time. He could have, but he didn't.
Well, you know, as time goes on, this thing starts to gel a little bit. I'm not convinced he wasn't trying to manipulate us. He did have rules about what he would talk about, but now in the long run, 3 or 4 years later, I'm beginning to suspect that he did have an agenda, and we were being manipulated by him.
I've gotten a couple fast blasts from people who are saying the same thing about the attorney, and they think they know where he is because they have both identified the same town. We'll have our producers talk to you off the air, Oliver, because I don't want to inundate this guy if he's not that attorney, okay?
Okay.
We'll do that. Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, this is Robert from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hi, Robert.
This is a very interesting story. I'm a really big time travel fan. I mean, shoot, if I had brains, I'd be that's one thing I'd want to discover. my question is, now, I'm pretty skeptical. Could John Teeter go back in time and like, say, prevent, like, September 11th, and therefore that create a different timeline? I really think about this a lot. This is very, very interesting, very intriguing to me.
Well, according to John, yes, he could. But in order to take advantage of it, you'd have to stay there. You couldn't travel in time anymore. So if you were to go back in time and prevent 9/11, everybody else that was here would still experience it because we're in a separate universe.
Right.
So you'd have to stay in that universe to take advantage of whatever change you made.
Oh.
Would he be violating anything? I mean, is there some kind of future law that he ever talked about, Oliver, of intervention, for example?
Actually, no. And he actually talked about this a little bit. He said, since every possibility is occurring and happening, for everything that you're doing someplace else, the exact opposite thing is happening. So in the long run, everything sort of evens out. So if there's an evil you traveling around in time doing evil things, there's also a good you traveling around doing good things. So as many possibilities as there are, that's how many are occurring.
Last year was horrendous for weather. absolutely horrible. Did he say anything about massive hurricanes, documented things that obviously have been posted?
He made a couple of references offhand when he was angry about hundreds of thousands of people dying. And a lot of people have pointed to the tsunami mm-hmm. and some of the other disasters that have happened, but he didn't say anything directly. Interestingly enough, the speculation is that the reason his family left Florida was because of those massive hurricanes that hit at the same time.
I wonder if he warned them.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Did he have a temper?
Yes. I think you could push him so far, and then he would go over the edge, and there were a couple of times where he expressed some real anger. Wasn't it any individual, but you could tell he was mad at the past, blaming us for the developments that led to some of the nasty things that happened in his future.
Well, was it a temper or was it a frustration? Or maybe both?
You know, it's all, my interpretation was, it was like you're telling a small child something, you know, don't put your hand on the stove, don't put your hand on the stove, and then the first thing they do is put their hand on the stove.
Yeah.
And that's the way he reacted to us.
And, you know, I've seen parents, this is strange, you know, we've all been, most of us have been parents, you know, you see a child, let's say, fall down or do something that, you're right, the parents warn them, one of the first reactions, wrongly, the parent picks up the kid and swaps him on the butt. You know, rather than comfort the child because they're so upset, their first thing is to scold them. Maybe that's what John was doing with us.
Well, even to add one more level on top of that, imagine having to relive that experience over and over and over again. So you don't just have it once, but you go back in time and you still can't convince them. Go back again, it still doesn't work. So I would imagine that would get very frustrating after a while.
First time caller line, welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Idaho. I just had a quick question about the time travel.
Sure.
If it was possible, if you could travel back in time and you knew someone that you loved was going to die and you saved their life somehow, would they just eventually pass on like they were going to? Because, I mean, I'm a religious person, and so I believe that once you die, your spirit goes to a heaven
or wherever.
You know, something like that. Yeah, so where it's supposed to go. And so if you save that person, that soul, I would think, is hard to come back.
Actually, he did mention a little bit about that. Interesting you should bring that up. Yes, if you go back in time and save somebody, you would, and they would probably die some other way later. But then again, keep in mind that there's another infinite number of universes where other things are happening. Maybe they're dying earlier, they're dying later. And I believe John made a reference to the fact that one of the big questions in religion in the future now was how do you reconcile all those different versions of yourself, and how can you tell when you're really dead? I mean, if you're dead here but not there, does that mean you go to heaven? And that apparently was a big question in the future for religion.
Yeah, that's a little, I don't know, far-fetched for me. I just, like, I don't think my mind can really grasp that there's that much going on that we have no idea about, that we can't really, you know, even dream about, but I just think that's really strange. I mean, so he says that they would just die some other way pretty close to when they originally died.
Yeah, or in another universe, they may live to be 80. You know, the other interesting thing he said was that if there's multiple versions of you, some of them are evil, some of them are bad, or some of them are good. So now how do you judge if you're a good or a bad person in the long run if just as many of you are doing good as are doing bad?
Oliver, it appears we, as a world, may be getting close to a confrontation with Iran. Did John talk about that at all in any kind of terms?
He did talk about war in the Middle East, and he specifically said it was linked to instability in the West, which, of course, I guess, you know, some people could say it means nothing. But whenever the Middle East was brought up, again, that was a subject that he got upset about because we weren't paying attention to it. So he did talk about Iraq, of course, and the fact that we would be having a war there, but he didn't say anything specific about Iran.
If he came from 2036, how old was he as a time traveler?
He was born in 1998, so that made him 38 years old.
38 years old, and that would make him how old today? I guess, does that stay the same? I guess it does. It never changes, does it?
Let's see. If he was 1998, he would be...
He stays 38, doesn't he?
Well, he's 38 back on whatever universe he came from.
Yeah.
But the him that's here now...
Gets older.
What, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in that neighborhood.
That's right. Every year that person gets older, yet the time traveler in theory, stays the same with his age.
Right.
East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George. This is Dan from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Dan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Several months ago, you had a special time travel line during an open
right.
line segment. You had a call from a gentleman who claimed he was from 2036.
Yes. You did not mention his name, though.
No, he would not give his name, but he did give some specifics that I think that it might be the same person, because he'd mentioned that we were still in Iraq at 2036. He mentioned that he was 38 years old, which would be put him at the same time frame.
And he was kind of perturbed, if I remember the call.
Absolutely. And he also alluded to the fact that he came back to visit his family because he knew his father was going to die soon at the time of 2005, whenever you took the call. And you almost gave him a mini interview and asked him if he saw himself as a child, and he said yes. And he said he passed himself off as an uncle. And I am convinced that this is the same person. He said he worked with computers in 2036 and that black holes were the key to time travel. If you go back to the archives, I think this might help Oliver out somewhat.
Oliver, what do you think?
Well, I think there's two possibilities. Either it was somebody who knew enough about the story to fake being John, or it could have been John or another John. And this goes back to the question everyone's asking themselves, is that if time travel is real, where are all the time travelers? When this might be it, that might have been one. I don't think they would parade down Main Street and go, here's my time machine, ask me about the stock market.
Could be. Good observation, Dan.
Thank you.
Okay. There is no doubt in your mind that in the future we're going to time travel, right?
In my mind?
In your mind.
You know what? 4 years ago I would have said probably not, but now I'm not so sure. Now I think there is a real possibility that it could happen.
Yeah, you know, 2036, you know, it's not too far from now. I'm not sure they have that capability. Something dramatic might have happened, but 100 years out, 200 years out, I think technology would allow them to do some incredible things.
I don't know. You know, I challenge you to read some of these articles about the Z machine and some of the theories that they have now. I mean, they're talking about warp drive.
And these are real stories now.
Yes, and these are real scientists in real science magazines. That's what's stunning about it.
All right, let's go next to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Howdy.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hey, I wanted to mention this to Oliver. I was listening to you guys a while ago. And you talking about Teeter, a guy named Teeter traveling
yep.
in time?
Yep.
And then he had mentioned something about a civil war?
Yes, sir.
Well, back in the 60s, I had a premonition then, and this links right up to what he's saying. And I had a premonition, and I never did forget about it. And, you know, I just waited for the passage of time to see if it was going to happen. And in that premonition, we were in combat on American soil, and there was a woman that I seen wearing what we call the Velcar helmet, the one they wear today in the military.
Yeah.
And they didn't exist back then. During Vietnam, we had pot helmets and OD uniforms.
That's true.
And she was wearing a uniform I never seen before, which we call battle dress uniforms, which is camouflage.
So you even envision that?
I envision that. And she was a very young woman, and yet I was a very old guy.
In the Teeter's postings of a civil war, does he talk about troops in this country?
He talks about the civil war in this country is basically a division, some sort of a division that happens. He describes it as the cities versus the country. And he doesn't go into a whole lot of detail about that, but it's obvious that something happens. There's some sort of an event where the cities become much more tight and closed and more authoritative, and they're depending on the country, and then that's what causes the rift.
Is it the haves and the have-nots?
It could be, and maybe, you know, if you think about it, you know, if the power goes down, maybe the people in the city are the ones that are the have-nots. You know, if you're in the country and you can burn wood and you can make your own electricity or whatever, maybe that was the problem.
Let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. We find you on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hey. Hi there, this is Manuel. I'm calling from Indio, California.
Hello, Manuel.
How are you doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I was going to have a question for your guest. John Teeter, I've tried like heck to look for him on the internet, look for his original web postings. I'm probably sure they've been taken off or gone, but where can we find this information about him and reinterpret his own words from his own mouth.
Well, you go if you go to the website johnteeter.com, johnteeter.com. Mm-hmm. It's already linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Oliver's done a very good job assembling the old posts and old information. Oliver, tell them a little bit about what you do there.
Yeah, what I again, my the problem I had was that his postings were in three or four different sites. I tried to gather them all together, arrange them by date. However, I did edit them. I took out all of the ramblings between the questions so that it was more concise. But the original posts are out there. There are hundreds of sites that have the entire archive of everything he posted,
well,
including all the questions.
He knew what he was doing to cover his tracks because that's the best way to get away with time travel.
Well, you know, like I said, go right now. Go Google Z Machine and John Teeter. And there's the proof right there that he was talking about this 3 or 4 years ago before the announcement was made.
Thank you kindly.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you being part of the program. A few more moments to go. We'll wrap it up by taking as many calls as we can. Then we'll have our full program discussion with Alex Jones, East of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, Rex, New Orleans.
Hi, Rex.
The psychology of time travelers. Let me tell you something. Let's take the Kennedy assassination, for example. Most people in the future would be alive and would be afraid of any change in the timeline that might cease their existence. Therefore, I think any time traveler that came back here would not want to change the timeline. They'd want to preserve it. In other words, people coming back would not want to prevent the Kennedy assassination. They'd want to preserve the Kennedy assassination because they would be the survivors, and any change in that might cease their existence. So I'm highly dubious of all these time travelers that come back and want to change things. If I'm in the future, like right now, I survived Vietnam. I was a fighter pilot. I didn't get shot down. But if Kennedy lived, things might have been different, and I might not exist. So my point of view, if I was a time traveler, I want to come back and make sure Kennedy was assassinated because I survived it.
You would have just let things happen as they did.
Because otherwise, I might not exist.
Yeah, according to John, leaving your time and doing something another time did not affect where you came from. In fact, he said the reason his military organization existed was to get things. His assignment was to go back and get something that they needed and bring it back. So they really didn't care if they changed time or not. It didn't affect where they came from.
It's such psychological.
Oliver, tell me if it's possible that Teeter may have been in a different country. Not in this country.
No, they nailed his IP right off the bat, and he was in the United States.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah. In fact, he didn't hide where he was coming from. He told them where he was, and apparently that's what his IP address said.
All right, first-time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Jim from South Carolina.
Hey, Jim, go ahead.
What I'm wondering is, I think you guys were talking about they travel through time through black holes.
Yeah.
Well, from my understanding, black holes are in outer space, right?
Well, according to John, they were very, very small black holes. They were, the size of an electron, and they used two of them together, and it was what they used to create the gravitational field that allowed the machine to work. So it didn't actually go to a black hole in space. It was a microscopic black hole. And CERN apparently is planning on producing these things starting in 2007.
So, Oliver, tell me a little bit about this film that somebody somewhere has done, and you can. It's pretty easy to track down the actor, by the way. There's some websites out there that will allow you to do that.
Well, that would be my next step, then, is to go after this guy, because it'd be interesting to see if he's got any more information about, who wrote it, did they talk to the family, what does he know? So right now, he and Larry are the two front guys on that story.
What if we find out that John Teeter wrote it before he left?
Now, that would be interesting. And, George, I got an idea for you.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me during the break. If these scientists turn out to be reputable, the ones at CERN and the ones at the Z Machine,
mm-hmm.
It might be possible that you would actually be interviewing them within the next year, and it would be interesting to see their response when you tell them, hey, what do you think about this time travel guy that said you'd be doing this in a few years?
Exactly. I'll get you on with them.
Yeah.
You've got all the data.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to want to hear from me.
That would be interesting. Okay, Oliver, thank you so much.
You got it.
And your website, of course, johnteeter.com. Appreciate you being on the program. Oliver Williams, three updates we had on John Teeter. Now, when we come back, some new information from Alex Jones. If you've been up to the coasttocoastam.com website, he's got some clips on the Bohemian Grove given to him by an employee. We're going to talk with him about that and wiretapping of Americans and some other issues. It's Alex Jones, and it's a fiery night. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.